Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your presence. We invite you, teach us, grow us and mature us, Lord, that when people see us, they see you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue our new series on trials. Jesus said in John 16:33, that in the natural world, you will have trial and tribulation, distress and frustration. Anybody found that to be true? So you're going to have them. Touch your neighbor and say, you're going to have them. As long as there's people in the world, you're going to have some trials. And if you're really brave, you'll get married. You have some more trials. And if you're insane, you'll have children. And then you'll have some more trials. We've all experienced trials. I shared with you when we started this series the loss of my older brother when I was 11 years old, and how that affected my mom, and how that affected our family and his friends and the school and all those things. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you've lost a marriage. Maybe you found infidelity within your marriage. Maybe you found out your child was doing drugs. I mean, we're all going to face trials and tribulations. It's just part of our existence. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 2. I've quoted it to you before. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Boy, there's got to be something written after that. There's got to be good, right? I mean, come on, Lord. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Here's the hard part. Let patience have its perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect. That word is mature. That you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. The hard part is letting the Lord have his work. In the midst of a dark time, a confusing time, we can't see the light. We don't know what the truth is. All we can feel is how we feel. And that can be so challenging. But to be patient, to rest, to allow the Lord to have his work. Romans 8:29, what's his work? He's going to conform you to the image of his son. And we can learn obedience through the things we suffer, even as Christ learned obedience through the things he suffered. Micah 7, verse 8. I love this passage because Micah prophetically warns the enemy. Don't rejoice over me, my enemy. Don't party too long. Because when I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to go down. So don't rejoice too long over my pain and my suffering, because I will rise again. And when I fall, I'm coming back. I'm coming back again and again. All men fall, great men get up. Those with an unwillingness to lose never do. So whether you're in the midst of a difficult relationship, maybe a health crisis, financial crisis, how about just all-out demonic attack? Whatever you may be facing, it's important that you first submit yourself to God. First submit yourself to God so that you don't react in the flesh and make something twice as miserable as it already was. The flesh tends to do that. Submit yourself unto God so that you don't respond as a victim and take up a victim identity, because you are in no way a victim. You're a victor in Jesus Christ. Submit yourself to God so you don't play the blame game, that it's everybody else's fault that I'm being the way I'm being. Submit yourself to God so you don't enter into manipulation and control. I feel pain, so let me run out here and control other people's behavior, other people's actions. Let me manipulate a circumstance to bring myself relief. That's a work of the flesh. Christ needs to be your relief. And then, of course, self-pity. Submit yourself to God so you don't throw a pity party and you're the only one there. How many of you know when we're confused and all we can feel is our feelings, we tend to gravitate towards the flesh. We tend to gravitate towards fear, self-protection, rather than self-giving love, which is what we're made for. A lot of times you give way to fear and the flesh and all those things, you're going to make bad decisions. You thought the situation was bad before, or now it has twins. Always remember in the midst, and it's important to train ourselves while we're feeling good in the neighborhood. Okay, we're all here. We're yes and amen. God's word is true. We need to train ourselves now so we don't respond wrong when we get done wrong. Because it's not about who's right. It's not about who did the right thing there and who did the wrong thing. When you're in the midst of it in the present tense, the question is, what does God desire? What does God desire out of this situation? It's not about, well, I'm right. I'm justified in this. You can be right as rain in your point and wrong as H-E double hockey sticks in your attitude. Come on, amen. You might be spouting truth, but the spirit of truth is nowhere to be found. Woo, come on, somebody. Am I helping anybody? Amen. Avoid paralysis by analysis. Come on. Some of you just overanalyze and overanalyze and replay it and replay it. Don't spend all your time dwelling on it. And sure, don't spend all your time trying to figure out if this trial came from God. Or if this trial came from the devil. Or I committed a sin and somehow I opened the door and now the devil's wreaking havoc on me. Don't spend all your time there. Man, this is so important. Don't let the things you don't understand about God override the things you do understand about Him. Namely, He's good. How much? All the time. God is always good. No matter what you're going through in the natural, God is always good. Don't let that be overridden, that God loves you no matter what. He loves you more than you love yourself. Know that God's going to work this for your good. You have a promise. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You know He's going to work it for good. Sunshine is coming. I know it's rainy, but sunshine is coming. It's your promise. God cannot lie. Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good. Those who love Him and called according to His purpose. Doesn't mean everything you go through is good, and it sure doesn't mean everything you go through is God. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form the loss of my older brother was God. Don't believe that in any way, shape, or form. But can He work it for good? Yes, He can. That is the promise that we have. God is good. God loves you. He's going to work it for good. How about God's going to redeem it? I want to get to the point that when I'm suffering, I'm able to still sing that song, I know my Redeemer lives. Here I come, devil. I may be suffering now, but my Redeemer lives. He's going to work this for good. He's going to redeem this thing. I'm going to come out better on the other side. I'm not coming out bitter. I'm coming out better. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's going to redeem it. He may not have caused it, but He can use it. He can use it. Even if it's my own ignorant flash. Everybody likes big pieces of stupid. There's another one for you. Even if it's my own ignorant flash, He can work it for good. God's able to start changing our perspective. We don't look at what trials do to us. That's a pity party. I'm going to look at what trials do for us. How it can grow me. What is God going to do in the midst of this to bring me out shining on the other side? What a promise. What a promise. Last week, we started talking about in the midst of trials and pain and suffering, that we often feel powerless. That's not true. There is power that you have access to in your pain. There's even purpose that you have access to in the midst of your pain. The first one we looked at was this one. Steve, what possible power do we have in the midst of pain and suffering? Well, you have the power of choice. Deuteronomy 30:19, I've set before you, God says, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. That what? That both you and your kids may live. Yeah. Thank God my mama chose to forgive through the divorce that she walked through in 1991. Thank God. That would have affected us three remaining boys in a great way. She chose life. It was her choice. You can have pain and suffering as a result of somebody else's choice. But they still, no matter what they've taken from you, they can't take from you the power of the present tense choice that you have. And God implores you, choose life. Choose life that you can live. Not just you, choose life that your kids can live. And God's so loving. You ever played the game, which hand's a peanut in? You ever done that? Here's what God's doing. Life and death's in front of you. This is the one. We're back there going, where's the, there's another hand back there. Where is it? Write this down in your notes. This is huge. Two things, actually. God honors your choice. He loves you too much to choose for you. God's not choosing for you. You can't have love without a choice. He's not going to override your free will. God honors your choice. And if you choose death and bitterness and rage and anger and unforgiveness for the rest of your life, He's going to honor your choice. Now He's going to speak to you. Your organs are going to speak to you. Hopefully your godly friends will speak to you. People will speak to you. He won't leave you alone in it, but He's not choosing for you. He will honor your choice. The devil can't choose for you. God won't choose for you. The person who hurt you can't choose for you. You have to make that choice. And then here's the second one I want you to write down. The power of your choices determines the quality of your life far more than somebody else's choice. You got to get this. The power of your choices determines your quality of life far more than anybody else's choice. Boy, we see it all the time. People on TV, the news, media, all that stuff. Well, I got it right. I hate that person. You're not made for hate. You're just working your own ruin. Your quality of life is not determined by that other human being. They don't have the power. You have the power to choose, and God's begging you on behalf of Christ to bless you, to choose life. All right, number two. This one's equally as important. You have the power of perspective. You have the power of focus. Your perspective is greater than your reality. Your perspective is greater than your reality because we live based on what we perceive to be true. We act based on what we perceive to be true. We cop an attitude based on what we perceive to be true. So your perception is very important. How many times have we believed a lie and lived and acted based upon it, thinking the whole while it was true? People do it all the time. How many people came to church today so God would love them? If you came so He'd love you, you're too late. He already does. He loved you before you even decided to come. Amen? But people do that all over Oklahoma today. I'm going to church today so God will love me. Well, that's a lie. He already does love you. But they're living based on their perspective and what they perceive to be true about God. I'm telling you, your perspective is so important. How many people didn't come to church today because they don't believe God loves them? So they're acting, they're living based on what they perceive to be true. How many of you know God loves people who go to church today and people who don't go to church today because God is love? That's who He is. That's the truth. But we're going to live and act based on what we think is true. One of the greatest revelations and freedoms I've ever experienced is the day I figured out I don't determine the truth. The truth has already been written about me. Even my behavior doesn't determine what's true about me. My behavior may just reveal I've believed a lie. Come on, did you catch it? If I do something unrighteous, that's just revealing I didn't really believe I was righteous. I just gave myself to what I was drifting into. What joy to know I don't determine the truth about me. Truth was here long before I got here. Truth will be here long after I'm gone. While I'm here, I'm dancing with it. Jesus said, truth is not something you determine, it's something you come to know. John 8:32, and when you come to know it, it'll set you free. It'll set you free. So, everybody say perspective. It's very, very important. How many Christians try to do good works so they'll be righteous? I'm gonna help this woman so God'll say that I'm righteous. Well, if you're born again, you already are righteous. But you're doing something based on what you think is true. How about perceived offense? That's a fun one. You can be offended based on your perspective of what somebody said or did, and it wasn't even true. So you're at the office, you overhear the guys talking, you think they're running you down. They're really talking about your boss, they're even talking about you, but you just heard enough to let the devil, you know, trick you. Now you're offended based on perception, not on reality. Perceived offense. Perceived offense. And then you've got accidental offense. You have a person who did say something bad about you, or maybe they did, they cut you off in traffic. They didn't mean to do it, but they did it, and now you're offended. All because of an accident. And then you've got actual offense you're going to have to deal with, and that is somebody hurt you, and yeah, they meant to do it, and they don't care. That's why I tell people, when they say, well, I'll forgive him as soon as he apologizes, and I'll say, don't hold your breath, because you might be dead before they apologize. How many of you know, I thank God every day, Jesus Christ wasn't waiting for an apology on the cross to forgive humankind. The power of forgiveness doesn't come from an apology, it comes from Christ's life on the inside of a human being. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. That's where your power to forgive comes from, all the forgiveness you've got. It's not like you're empty-handed. I would say he's given you plenty of forgiveness. Don't sit here and say, I don't have any forgiveness to give anybody. You've got a multitude of forgiveness from Christ. Give him some of what he gave you. Get him, Lord. Yes. Woo, it's the truth. It's the truth. So your perspective is so important. How you react to adversity and pain and suffering. How you respond. How you perceive what's happening. There was a little boy who went out into the backyard with his baseball and his ball cap and his baseball bat. And he said to the whole neighborhood, by himself, but it didn't matter. He said, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he threw that ball up and he swung and he missed. Undeterred, he picked the ball up, adjusted his hat. It's all right, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. He threw it up, swing and a miss. Strike two. He starts thinking, okay, checks the bat. Is there a hole in the bat? I mean, there's something. Sets himself, throws the ball up, whoosh, strike three. Bends down, picks up the ball. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. I struck my own self out. Perspective. Perspective. What is your perspective? Because it's in your power to choose life or death. Woo, that's good. That's good. How do you face adversity? How do you face a trial? Train yourself now. I mentioned that before. Train yourself now to win the war of perspective and what I would call focus. Because can I get a witness that when you're going through something, you don't always feel like praying. You don't always feel like talking to God. So train yourself. Remind yourself. Holy Spirit will help you. But you got to know that you know that you know the right way to respond here. I may not feel like it, but I need to talk to the Lord. I told you about the worship pastor whose wife had died and he went into a month-long depression. He had a good friend trying to help him out. Brother, you got to come out of your house. You got to get out of there. You got to, you know, you can't just live in the dark all this time. And he wouldn't respond. He finally went to his house and sat him down at the piano. He was a worship leader. And he said, brother, you have to worship God. You have to worship God. I know you mourn the loss of your wife, but you've got to worship God. And as that worship pastor began to play and began to sing, all that heaviness began to leave. We don't always feel like crying out to God, calling out to God, but we've got to train ourselves now while we feel good. That when this time comes, when a trial and suffering knocks on my door, I know the answer. I know the way to respond. Amen. Amen. Matthew 6, 22 and 23, Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. This is NIV, I believe. If your eyes are healthy, now most translations are good, but the words are interchangeable. When Jesus is saying, if your eye is good, if it's single, if it's pure, how about this translation? If your focus is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. I mean, that's fantastic. If your focus, if your perspective is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body is going to be full of darkness. And if then the light that's within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What he's saying is that darkness, if you choose to look at it, keep looking at it, it can get so overwhelming, it is obscuring light. And that's Micah 7:8. When I sit in the darkness, when I can't see, the Lord will be a light to me. But boy, you got to shift your focus. You got to know from whom your help comes from. Whatever you focus your attention on, you get full of. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. When you're going through pain and you're going through suffering, somebody's wounded you greatly. I'm telling you, don't sit there and look at them. Don't sit there and replay that situation over and over again. Set your eyes on the light. Set your eyes on Him, on the truth, on Jesus Christ, so your body can be a lumen full of light. Then and only then can you make a right choice. Then and only then can you say the right thing. Amen. This is so important, not just for your health individually, our health as a church. How about the health of the nation? You think there's people trying to get us fixed on darkness all the time? Division, strife. Where there's strife and envy, there's every form of evil. We cannot be players of that game as Christians. We got to point people to the light. Amen. Two amens there. We got to point people to the light because whatever you focus your attention on, you get full of. I'd much rather be full of the Holy Ghost so I can make a right decision. Go ahead and give God praise. He deserves it. If you focus on God, you'll get full of God. If you focus on the problem, you'll get full of the problem. If you focus on pain, you're going to be full of pain. If you focus on a venomous deed done to you, you'll become full of venom. As human beings, we are derivative beings. We derive our expression from another. We're a derivative being. So the whole war on this planet is whose nature is going to be expressed in and through you. And the key to this is, Jesus is pointing out here, we need to be looking at God. How are we transformed into His very own image? 2 Corinthians 3:18, by beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We look at Him. You're going to become like what you look at. You're going to become full of what you stare at. Set your eyes. Set your mind where they belong. Whatever has your attention has you. And again, even if the light of the world, we're the light of the world, but if all we do is look at darkness, it can come in and cloud and consume that light, obscure it. There's people who say, well, Brother Steve, I understand what you're saying about focus and, you know, we need to be looking at God and we need to be looking into His Word, but how can I, you know, if I'm at work, I can't focus on the truth. I really don't believe that. Because I've seen people who are at work and all they do is focus on worry. They're still working, but they're meditating on worry. If you can meditate on worry and everything that can go wrong while you're working, I submit to you, you can meditate on Christ. You can meditate on truth while you're working. It's pretty simple because worrying is just focusing on a lie, visualizing the worst. Right? We start thinking like, well, God can't handle this. This is too big for God. I'll never recover from this. We start meditating on lies. There's nothing too big for God. Meditate on that. Meditate on His nature. Meditate on the promise that He's going to work this for your good. Meditate on Micah 7:8, that when I fall, I will rise again. Sunshine's coming. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy's coming, devil. Don't party too long over me. God's going to work this for my good. Just have a seat over there and watch. Amen? We either believe the truth or we don't. God can't lie. He can't lie. I like that. Use that for your nose. Have a seat over there, devil. Stand back and watch. Watch what He's going to do. It's going to work for my good. Even the grossest sin, even the grossest misdeed, the biggest piece of stupid you've ever done, God can work for your good. Amen. How many times have I focused on what I did wrong or what someone else did wrong to me? And then here comes the whispers. What does this say about your value? Do you know that other people can treat you in such a way you don't feel valuable at all? God can't lie, but people have ignorant flashes all the time. So why isn't it possible that what they're doing to me or what they did to me was really saying a lot more about their brokenness than about my value? Because my value comes from God. My value doesn't come from everybody else's ignorant flash. I'm really on that one today. I like it. I like it a lot. Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are right, good, true, noble, just, and worthy of praise. That's what we're going to focus on. Write this one down. This will help you. People tend to find what they're looking for. People tend to find what they're looking for. The devil says, you know that wife of yours, she's no good. She got a lot of problems. Man, you let that stick around, you'll start seeing them. It's true. People typically find what they're looking for. You think people from Choctaw, if they came, or Midwest City, if they came to Grace Church and they were hungry for the Lord and they're looking for Jesus, you think they might find Him here? They're going to find Him. What if you got people who come into a church just, you know, looking for any reason never to go back there again? They'll find it. They'll find it. They might even come in and say, I know they're going to talk about money. I know they're going to pass the plate. Well, we never did. Well, I didn't like the music. Right? People are going to find whatever. They're going to find whatever they're looking for. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, the single, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why do you think Christ died for you? So you could see God. Why does it matter that God reveal Himself to you? Because the whole shooting match is He wants to reveal Himself through you so the enemy's not. Amen. The war is over whose nature is going to be expressed in the earth. God's divine life of self-giving love, righteousness, peace, and joy, or the enemy's self-taking, self-exalting, self-protecting, prideful nature. That's what the war is over. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18, Good News Translation. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. How about that? That's good news. We're going to focus our attention not on what we see, but on the things that are unseen. The spirit realm. The spirit realm. It's not saying ignore your problems. Or refuse to deal with them. It's just saying, get your focus right before you deal with any of that. How many of you know it's important we stay focused when good things are happening? This October will be 20 years, the existence of Grace Church. And you know what blows my mind? Is 21 years ago, she didn't exist. 21 years ago, we We didn't exist as a church. We only lived in the heart of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who thought, I'm going to carve out a people in central Oklahoma. And here we are in full manifestation. Amen. Here we are. And it's easy. It's easy to say, wow, 20 years, that's amazing. 11 adults, and look what the Lord has done. I'm telling you, you better stay focused through the test of success. It's not just about, a trial doesn't mean it's always got to be bad. A trial you could face could very much be prosperity and blessing. The test of success. When we traded buildings, we were on Westminster on less than an acre. On less than an acre. There's 13 acres here, right? 13 acres. We're on less than an acre. We get to trade buildings. We were gonna have to build on 23rd Street. We had some land. It was gonna cost a whole bunch of money. It was gonna totally stress me out, cause I can't even put two boards together and nail them together, so. So we're gonna build this church. It costs a couple million dollars. We don't have a couple million dollars. But 3 days after we did what the Lord asked us to do, and that was this. He said, pay off the land before you do anything. Don't do anything until you pay off the land. 3 days after we paid off the land on 23rd Street, this church that was here at that time called us and said, would you be interested in trading buildings? So we went from, this giant building program that's going to stress everybody out, to one Sunday we're on less than an acre. The next Sunday, we're on 13 acres in a 15,000 square foot building with the deal. Listen, we gave them our existing church. We gave them the land on 23rd. And the deal was this. Just take over payments. They needed to downsize. The building was only 10 years old in 2012. It's still beautiful. Can I get a witness? It's a beautiful building. Look what the Lord has done. But I promise you, and you can ask anybody that was here with us in 2012, the Lord spoke very clearly to us. Here's what he said. This changes nothing. This changes nothing. All I'm asking you to be is who I have asked you to be on Westminster. Would you please be those people here in this new location? The test of success. Stay humble. Stay dependent. Stay abiding. That can be a trial. And believe me, we had some. We had some jockeying for position and this room, that room. We went through some stuff. But the Lord has prevailed mightily, I might add, easily. But he had to give us that word, and thank God he did. This doesn't change anything. I'm just asking you to be those people there over here. And so we got to stay focused. We got to stay dependent. We need to stay abiding in him and upon him and fixed on him, even when things go really good. Well, I'm out of time. Yeah. I'm going to give you a sneak peek. Everybody say sneak peek. This is next week, the power of godly counsel. Without counsel, plans go awry. In the multitude of counselors, they're established. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counsels, there's safety. Whatever you go through, you've got the power of godly counsel. You've got people that can help you, right? You're not alone. And I don't just mean Jesus, but Jesus in his body and in his people. Will you stand with me? Amen. Amen, amen. So more on that next week. Everybody blessed? The power of perspective and focus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here this morning, you've never met Jesus. Boy, I want to introduce you to him. He's wonderful. He's incredible. This church lived in his heart long before we manifested. You know what's amazing? I believe this church will be here for generations to come. It'll be an imprint and a footprint on central Oklahoma and really beyond central Oklahoma, wherever the Lord would choose to expand it. But Jesus is that marvelous. He's that magnificent that we lived in his heart even before we were manifested. So if you're here today and you've not known him, you've not met the living, risen Christ. He's a person.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.